thought about Satan lately? Is he figurative? Is he literal? Are we dealing with spiritual powers that we're told of in Scripture? Let's take a closer look at Satan, the vindictive accuser. There are different beliefs about Satan. Number one, just going through, say, three of them, that Satan is a real spirit entity which turned against Yahweh. Number two, that Satan is not real, but allegorical or vision-oriented only, based upon symbolic, Semitic language. Interestingly enough, I listened to a lecture last night about this very thing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This was from a Dr. Rocco Errico, who was a contemporary of Dr. Lamza, who was raised in the Aramaic language and culture. It's just very disturbing, some of the things that I heard, but I can kind of understand why they're thinking the way they're thinking, but I also understand what Scripture says, and I think we do as well. And that's really what we want to focus on today. But there's other beliefs. Three, that Satan is a woman and that her name is Lilith, or actually she is better described as a demon, and the first wife of Adam. Jewish teachings that come from Babylon, captivity on. Some even say that demons are not real but came from Babylonian concepts. But what does the Bible say? Can we find an evil spirit being, individual, being talked about in Scripture? What is his, or what is the spirit up to, and what was his history? Maybe more importantly, what is he doing right now, and what is his future? Revelation 12 and verse 10, and I would encourage you to bring your Bibles, to open them up, even though we're opening them up on the screen here. Because I think there's some areas that we can make some notes, we can underline, we can make sure that when we open up these scriptures, when we're at home, we're reminded of what we've heard even here. Revelation 12, 10, New American Standard throughout. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our Elohim day and night." You ever think of Satan accusing us day and night? Should we not be aware of what he's up to? The Strong's Concordance says that the word accuses means to condemn or accuse mainly in a legal sense. It's the same word that's used for the Pharisees trying to accuse Yahshua, the Messiah, of breaking their laws. Not the laws of Yahweh, mind you, but their oral laws, the ones that they made up. There are a lot of attributes that we can see in them, that is the Pharisees, that are directly related to Satan. Is it any wonder that Yahshua said of them, "Your father is the devil"? What do we do when we make up our own ways? When we do our own thing? Are we not putting ourselves in Yahweh's position or trying to? Isn't this what Satan did? Today we have some people who think Satan doesn't even exist, let alone stand as an adversary and accuser of the brethren. Someone recently was questioning this and wondered if allusions to Satan couldn't be speaking of something else figuratively and not actually the devil, especially in the Old Testament. So we'll spend some time there today. One of Satan's attributes is that he is a deceiver. Genesis 3 in verse 1, thinking about going to first discovery of something in Scripture, says here, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has Elohim said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?'" Notice that the serpent is using a tried and true way of deception, and that is to cause doubt about the truth or about someone's character for the purpose of turning someone away. I personally witnessed this with men who came up with false doctrines, started to present questions about the ones they knew were against their so-called new truth. It wasn't new at all, but their tactics in trying to draw others away to them. And we're told about this in Scripture. I think it was Peter that said, look, there'll be those that rise up among you and will come up with strange teachings to draw disciples away after them. It's Satan's way. It's what Satan has been doing from the beginning. Satan, I believe, was moving among them and causing trouble for the work of Yahweh. It should be noted as well that when we put ourselves in a position of accusing others of ill will or intent before everyone, especially to try to gain advantage over others, we are putting ourselves in Satan's shoes, figuratively speaking. I don't think he has any shoes. But he roams around like a lion. So there's different descriptions that we're told and are given about his ways and what he's up to. But speaking of figurative language, is Satan a serpent? Well, while Satan can appear even as an angel of light, the shapeshifter, no doubt, can appear as a slithering serpent. We can confirm in the New Testament that this is indeed who is being spoken of here in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden, the one who deceived Eve. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I am afraid, and this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Messiah. But if one comes and preaches another Yahshua whom you have not preached, or you have received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different evangel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. I suppose he could have said foolishly. While this acknowledges that the Apostle Paul knew of the serpent in Scripture, we have to go down to verse 14 to see Satan in context, which says Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. But the Apostle John gets a vision from heaven in which he sees, and it is clarified, that Satan is the serpent of old. Revelation 20:1-2. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of abyss, or the key of the abyss, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Scripture clarifying Scripture. We don't have to come up with our own ideas. Well, you know, that's really impossible. A serpent that talks, I mean, it must be figurative. Well, there are literal and figurative things in Scripture. And I think we have to go with the literal for the most part and figurative when we see that it's really, speaking more figuratively. But there are layers of understanding. It can be literal and figurative. It can have multiple meanings, just like the words in Hebrew can have multiple meanings. There are some words in Hebrew and Aramaic that can have upwards of 50 meanings. Did you know that? Is it? No wonder it's confusing a lot of times when scholars talk, and go over certain things, especially if they have the meaning of the word wrong. And we get into words like Rishon that have more than one meaning in the Old Testament. And when we look at areas of Passover, for example, and we're trying to understand what day Passover is, it's helpful to know what that word means and that it has a couple different meanings. But the serpent, also referred to as a dragon, is identified as Satan, which means adversary. He's called the devil, which means the accuser. And he's working behind the scenes. When looking at other areas of the Old Testament, we can certainly see this, or at least allusions to him. 1 Kings 22:19-22. Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting in his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand, or on his right and on his left. Well, certainly this is a vision. Verse 20, Yahweh said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said this while another said that. And then a spirit came forward and stood before Yahweh and said, I will entice him. Yahweh said to him, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And then he said, Yahweh said, you are to entice him and also prevail. Go and do so. Could this be Satan? Possibly. The spirit being, possibly the adversary, in Hebrew it's ha-shatan, the adversary, has that definite article in the front of it. So you don't necessarily have to have a proper noun here. It's describing someone. But, the spirit voluntarily came forward and said, I'll do it. I'll deceive. He volunteers to entice and deceive, and that's an attribute of Satan. While this area of Scripture might be questionable as to if it was actually Satan, the following is not. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the princes of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me word that I may know their number. Joab said, Yahweh add to his people 100 times as many as they are. But my master, the king, are they not all my master's servants? Why does my master seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt of Israel or to Israel? Satan moved David to count Israel. Did Satan do this without permission? If we consider the communication we have between Yahweh and Satan about Job, which we'll look at, we can surmise that Satan has to have permission to do anything he does. So the concept that there's this battle raging between Yahweh and Satan is a false idea. It's a tradition of men, ideas of men, that it's not true. Yahweh is in control. In this situation, Satan must have observed one of David's weaknesses as pride, a common problem among those who are given authority and are in a position in such that, you know, they can kind of call the shots. It was something that Satan evidently could work on and influence to even a greater extent in David. Maybe he made David think about the great armies of Israel and how they were a number to be reckoned with. But to clarify that number, he would have to count them. Joab must have seen the pride in David. And we can see the pride in other rulers. I remember very vividly Mussolini, some of the old video shots of him before the crowds. Very proud, very arrogant. I'm not saying King David was that way. I think King David was very humble many times. But in this situation, it looks like pride was an issue. But Joab must have seen this pride in David's countenance or in the way he asked, because Joab knew that he was up, what he was up to, and tried to stop him. So it was evident. But David was bullheaded at this point and went forward with a count, and he was punished severely for it. A number of people died that day. So why would Yahweh allow such things? Why is Satan allowed to roam the earth and cause the problems that he's causing, to test, to try, to see how we will react, possibly? To prepare a people to understand their weaknesses and to see the strength and perfection in Yahweh's ways rather than their own ways, rather than Satan's defiant ways. Ultimately, Yahweh is a merciful El and will not allow things to continue. And we're told the end out of the beginning. But he will restore this world and the universe and all of creation back to perfection, a renewed heaven and a renewed earth in a real, a very real sense. Even in our troubles, he restores us and helps us to prevail. I mean, do we think about that? Do we see the troubles that come and the troubles that go? I remember Elder Don quite vividly saying, you know, and this too shall pass. Because we've seen trouble here. We've seen, you know, things that shouldn't be, but they happen, and then we move on. And we continue the work in Yahweh's will, in His Spirit, in His truth. We've seen a lot of people change. We're still here striving to do the same thing. I think we've grown, but as far as changing the doctrines and such, we haven't been doing that. But we've clarified some things, I think, and gotten a deeper understanding. And that's, you know, we're to grow. We're to build upon faith, self-control, and upon self-control, moral attributes, and you know, excellence, and these type of things, as 2 Peter 2 brings out, or chapter 1, I think. Anyway. First Chronicles 21, where was I? Oh, yeah. Why would Yahweh allow such things? Yeah, I do think that we're learning a valuable lesson, one that we cannot rule ourselves, that we cannot manage ourselves. We see societies grow. We see them fall. We see corruption in governments. We see people stealing from one another, and greed, while others are starving. It's just not right. It's a sad situation that we see the world in today. But Yahweh will see all of it through and show us the truth. But we must realize that the spirit, the Satan, devil, whatever you'd like to call him, the attributes that are wicked, he is real. And we are in the fight for our lives spiritually. We are at risk of such things as inflated pride in our own personal lives. We must stand firm in the truth of Yahweh and in His Spirit to overcome. We also have other examples we can learn from. And I was speaking about Job. Let's go to Job 1, 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came among them. Yahweh said to Satan, here's a communication going on here. From where do you come from? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. This spirit being has, you know, legs that he can walk. Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing Elohim and turning away from evil. Turning away from your ways, devil. Then Satan answered Yahweh, does Job fear Elohim for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of Yahweh. So here we see a false accusation. Satan is an accuser, but he's falsely accusing Job. One that Job proves wrong. He didn't curse Yahweh, even though he lost just about everything, including family and wealth and animals, possessions, all gone. He got one report after another. Just someone alive to tell him what happened. Terrible. And I personally know of one couple that has come into the faith, was baptized into Yahshua's name, and was severely attacked afterwards. And I think they were told by the elders at that time that that is a very real possibility. They were young, and they had a lot of things. They had a lot of material things. They had some nice, well, they had at least one nice souped-up car, a little lowered, some mag wheels on it. They had a home. They had a house that they purchased. They had work. They had jobs. All of it was taken away from them. Everything except their family. And I can't help but think back to Job and what happened to Job and what was happening behind the scenes. Their situation was a little different than Job's in that they did curse Yahweh. They basically said they are not going to serve Yahweh who allowed such things to happen to them. Satan is described rightfully so as a lion on the prowl, desiring to devour those whom he can. And new believers are in his sights. Make no mistake about it. The couple could have overcome. They did not have more than they could handle. Yahweh promises that. He says, I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. So pull up your bootstraps, hang on, I'm going to test you. And he does. It was a test for them. And I'm pretty sure it was to see if they loved Yahweh and Yahshua more than their physical wealth. But there may have been something else. All I really know is that we're told that Satan asks permission to be able to do such things and go after us at times. We have to accept Yahweh's will on this. No matter what our situation, we can't just give up I guess we could, but we are throwing eternal life away, essentially, by doing so. We are to stand firm in Messiah Yahshua and be obedient even unto death, as he was. We also see that Job, being just a man with his will to do what was right in Yahweh's sight, overcoming Satan's attacks and vindictive accusations. Satan hates those that love Yahweh, so don't be surprised if it feels like you're being attacked at times. The reality is, you probably are. It's the reality that we are in. We are not fighting against physical things all the time. I mean, sometimes the car will act up and I have to, fight it to get it to work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual battles. We are fighting for our lives spiritually. And we all have different things that we're going through. And we each know what they are. And Yahweh does too. And Yahweh promises he'll help if we seek his will, if we seek his face, if we continue to strive to do his will. In it all, we will learn a lesson of who we are and build character and strength and integrity if we allow Yahweh's Spirit to rule in our lives, doing his will and obeying his word. Job 2, 4 through 7. Satan answered Yahweh and said, after all that Job just went through, and Yahweh said, see, he didn't sin, essentially. Satan answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin, yes, all that man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So Yahweh said to Satan, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh and smote Job with sore boils and the sole of his foot to the crown to his head. Terrible. And don't think it can't happen to us. Though the book of Job, we see Satan getting permission to attack him. In the end, we see Job had everything restored to him. Double. He received more than he had. And he was a wealthy individual back at that time, given the standards of wealth at that time. But that's physical. We're looking for the spiritual rewards, eternal life, eternal joy, happiness, with no pain, every tear wiped away. That is the reality for us if we overcome to the end. But Job, when prompted to curse Yahweh, he didn't do it. He didn't willfully rebel or sin against Yahweh like Job. We're not perfect, but we can overcome and do what is right. Even if Satan accuses us and says we won't do what's right, we can show that vindictive accuser what's what. and we can show Yahweh that we are serious about the calling that we've been given. And he tells us, or we're told through his word, to make your calling and election sure. Take this seriously. Don't give up. Don't let anything get in your way of doing what Yahweh's will is for you and for us overall. It's Satan's way of trying to get more to fall as he did in attacking and doing things. But we see here an allusion and description of Satan and his own history through the king of Babylon and his history. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, O son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. How has he weakened the nations? Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we have seen nothing but trouble. Satan has caused trouble for the nations in causing them to sin also. Sin is a very bad thing. Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's instructions for us. And it brings upon the death penalty, something that the Messiah takes from us when we come into him, when we are immersed in his name and submit our lives to Yahweh through him. He is the perfect sacrifice for us. But originally named in Hebrew Hallel, meaning son of dawn or bringer of light, in Latin it's Lucifer. Probably heard that name. But this winged cherub was quite the created being, evidently a delight to look at. In the following, we get an allusion of Satan and his glory described through the king of Tyre before his fall. Ezekiel 28:12 through 15. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says Yahweh Elohim, you had the seal of perfection. The seal of perfection. There was nothing wrong with you. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and your sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of Elohim. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. What happened to Satan? He had it all, it seems like. What went wrong? We're told that he became proud and arrogant, resentful, covetous, desiring and trying to take over the position of Yahweh as the Almighty. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, or above heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of Elohim, and I will sit on the mountain of the assembly in the recess of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Wow. Arrogant. Proud. Desiring to have it all, to have more. That type of attitude is in the world. You hear of people getting millions of dollars every year and they want more. They build houses. In bigger houses, that wasn't big enough. They tear it down, they build a bigger one. Never enough. Satan's, how would you say, influence is around and in people, in the attitudes and ways of this world. He's called the God of this world. And we're to resist him and his ways with everything we've got. With the help of Yahweh, we can overcome. Satan wanted Yahweh's throne, and it's been suggested that he knew what Yahweh was planning with mankind, that men and women would eventually become able to sit on a throne and rule in Yahweh's kingdom. I don't know. It's speculation, but if that's the case, he most likely could have used it to convince a third of the angels that they were getting a raw deal and to follow him. Because mankind would be given the opportunity to be over them and rule them and judge them. There is another Old Testament area in which we find Satan the devil mentioned. He's standing to accuse Joshua the high priest. And it appears that Joshua, now our high priest in heaven, is in his pre-existent state and rebukes the devil. Zechariah 3, 1 through 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Yahweh said to Satan, "Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And I think when we come before Yahweh, initially, we are clothed with filthy garments. And we still have things that we have to overcome and work on. But in Messiah, we're given new clothes. We're given a spiritual covering. He covers us. But it's interesting that it says Yahweh said to Satan. Did you notice that? I looked up the language and it says Yahweh said to Satan, "Yahweh rebuke you, Satan." In other words, if I'm reading this correctly, the angel of Yahweh was named Yahweh, which gets back to the preexistence of Yahshua the Messiah. And of course, we have a mini study on that. Did Yahshua preexist? Very in-depth study. But it's one that helps clarify a number of things in Scripture, helps us to understand the overall picture. And while we understand there is a spirit being who is referred to as an adversary and accuser, we know the history as presented that this spirit being, once a high-ranking cherub, convinced a third of the angelic realm to follow him in defiance of Yahweh. These angels are not all the same in scope or power. Some are very strong and are given reign over territories. Daniel 10, verses 12 through 13. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Angel speaking to Daniel. "For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your Elohim, your words were heard." How do we get lifted up? How do we approach Yahweh? Humbly, with humble adoration. "Your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." Michael is clearly identified as the archangel in the book of Jude. He's one of the powerful angels of Yahweh's angelic realm. And this one, Michael, the archangel, actually fought with Satan himself, which was revealed to us in the book of Revelation, book of revealing. As we have seen Satan described as the king of Tyre and also the king of Babylon, we find that even the other fallen angelic beings are sometimes referred to with such description as, say, prince. Prince of Persia resisted and battled an angelic being for 21 days. Prince of Greece is another fallen angel, which is found in the same chapter, Daniel chapter 10. But even Satan is referred to as a prince. The prince in the power of the air, transmitting his evil influence around the world. Satan is also referred to as a king over the fallen angels. Revelation 9:11. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek his name is Apollyon. I remember seeing this a long time ago when I was just learning about Yahweh's name. Now we have to understand that there are different meanings to these words that we're finding. And there are in situations where the word Shem in the Hebrew can actually mean like character, doesn't necessarily need mean a proper masculine noun, for example. But Abaddon basically means destroyer. Apollyon means destroyer. Yahweh's name actually means eternal, but we don't go around calling him the eternal. His name is actually a proper noun and also a verb of existence, which we get the definition of eternal. He was, he is, he will always be. He has always existed. And that just would collapse my mind if I spent too much time thinking about it. You know, I can't explain it. But we're way below him, that's for sure. And yet, if we humble ourselves, we can be brought close to him. And that's something that we all, I think, desire. But described in character as a destroyer now, but originally a bringer of light, called and named Hillel, or even Shakar, I think it's in the Hebrew, it's appropriate to call him Satan and also the devil. Are any of these proper nouns? Does it even matter? Does evil need a name? While the lack of a proper noun does not negate an individual's existence, sinning against Yahweh certainly can, that is, negate an individual's existence. So what happens when one is in the light and then turns on Yahweh in his ways? The end result for all who do so is death, irreversible and eternal. Any name or attribute given will be forgotten as the existence of the being will cease to exist. We could go into some Hebrew idioms about eternal fire and lake of fire and these type of things, and we have literature on it, so we don't need to go there. But unlike Satan, the vindictive accuser who tells lies, like you surely won't die, Yahshua knows the devil's fate, and we are confident that he is telling the truth in Matthew 25 and verse 41. Yahshua speaking says, "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil,'" not just the devil, but the devil and his angels, the demons, the fallen ones. There are eternal consequences for our actions. What we do with what we know does matter. Time is short. Let's be about our Father's business. But also, let's not be unaware of the devil who is out to destroy who he can. Don't give Satan a foothold or allow him to vindictively accuse you of being negligent with Yahweh's word and his spirit in your own life, whether it's calling you or whether it's already been implanted deep down within you. One last thought we should consider, which may help us when going through difficulties. Going back to the book of Job, considered by most scholars to be the oldest written book of Scripture, and certainly before the prophets of Yahweh, we have an interesting comment. Job 4, 17 through 18, this Job speaking. "Can mankind be just before Eloah?" Another title for Yahweh. "But can a man be pure before his Maker? He puts no trust even in his servants, and against his angels he charges error." Is Job describing humans in verse 17 and then angelic beings in verse 18? Did Job have any idea that he may have been under attack by Satan or fallen angels? Could be. Nevertheless, we have a better understanding today of what is happening and why the world is suffering the way it is. We can bear up under the pressure and stress being placed upon us at times. Knowledge in this case is power, but the greatest power we need to tap into for help and for comfort is overcoming the world and the evil in it, is Yahweh's Spirit dwelling within us. It's there to help us. In Messiah, we have victory if we stay faithful and not lose heart.